Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee what? Ruler." Ruler. Doesn't mean he owns it, but he is in charge of it. Ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Sister Pastor Jake, would you pray over this lesson? Let's worship the Lord one more time. Can we do that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. How to be blessable. That's what I want to talk about today. How to be blessable. Let's all give an honest answer. Do you want the blessings of God? Yes. Amen. Do you have the blessings of God? Yep. Yes. Now, the blessings of God are certainly varied. They are complex. How they serve us are multi-layered. There is a lot to the blessings of God. They can be emotional blessings, physical blessings, circumstantial blessings, blessings that we don't even know about and will never know about in this life. I'm anxious to say, God, all right, let's start from day one. Tell me everything. Tell me everything. I want to know everything you worked out. I want to know every car that was about to pull out in front of me. I want to know everything that a person said. I want to know every butterfly effect, if there is such a thing, and might may very well be. I want to know it all. But we can't know everything. And that's where faith comes in. And I believe the older we get, I'm over just barely, but I'm over half a century old now. And that's not old. But it ain't young. It's just not young. And so having that perspective, I can see how God was there in all of it. And I can also see how I can't see, I will never fully comprehend that. So in the context of blessings and this, when I say blessings, I can also mean would-be blessings. Okay, so and I think we'll understand more about that as I go along. So to receive God's blessings, first of all, we must be able to handle them. I think salvation is the first requirement, okay? If you want the things of God, you must be of God. We must be born again of water and of spirit. So to be able to have the blessings of God, we must be able to handle them. So what does that mean? Well, the truth is that we would misuse some blessings that God wants to give us. I think when we say blessings, maybe one of the most commonly at least referred to blessing that we talk about is a higher income. Can I get an amen from somebody, okay? A higher income. Well, the truth is that some people, and by which I mean most people, and I think we've all at least been at some point in that category, if we say, if I just could make a little more money, well, when we look back and we say, I remember when I was dirt poor, I thought if I just made a little more, and then I made a little more money. And then I said, if I could just make a little more money, and then I made a little more money. And then I said, if I could just make, you see where I'm going with this, okay? Well, when we look back, and this isn't always a bad thing, okay, because sometimes we do need a bigger house. Sometimes we do need a more reliable vehicle. Sometimes there are things that we need. But a lot of times, a higher income simply means a higher cost of living, because what do we often do? I can afford that car payment now. I can afford this other thing. We can have, we don't just have need net can get Netflix. We can get Netflix and get Hulu and Disney. Oh, they're together now. Hulu and Disney together. That's a blessing. So we can have this. We can have this credit card. We can have. I can have a better mobile phone. I can have one that takes better pictures. And these things aren't bad things. They're not inherently bad. I think anything can distract us and become a weight and so forth. But it's not necessarily bad to want and have a lot of these things. But for many of us, certain blessings aren't really going to be blessings because we're going to turn it into another kind of burden. Also, another reason that we can't handle certain types of blessings, for one thing, blessings make us feel good, and they should. Okay, and there are lots of things that make us feel good. I like Scrabble. I like to play Scrabble on my phone. That makes me feel good. I like certain kinds of foods. The best food in the world is my mama's biscuit and gravy. I love your mama. Her biscuit and gravy, mama's biscuits and gravy can beat up your mama's biscuits and gravy. So, so it's a wonderful thing. That's okay. That's good. But things that bring a pleasant feeling can often distract or even numb us to other things. And we just need to understand that sometimes we're going to have to feel, sir, I referenced Mr. Rogers. He said, it's okay to be angry. That's okay. It's okay to be frustrated. And he had a way to tell you like, wow, I want to be angry now. This he makes it look so wonderful. And it's okay on occasion to be distracted from certain things. Sometimes we need that, okay? If we are, let's say, going through grief, we can't grieve at all times. God in his infinite wisdom made it so that it comes in waves. And there are certain times, you know, perhaps we're at work where we have to get work done. And it's not that we're permanently putting off certain feelings. It's that I can't right now. I have a job to do. My family needs me to do this. I have to wait. So we might do something to distract ourselves. A lot that can be said about that. So if we are, let's say we're having problems in our marriage. Let's say we're having, we're not getting along in certain ways that we really didn't expect. And I believe every marriage at some point becomes perilous or there is danger, threatening, maybe even seriously threatening things that happen. And so what do we need to do? We need to work on it. We need to face certain things. We need to realize certain things. It takes a lot of work to do that. Certainly worth it. And then imagine we just got a big blessing. I just got a bonus at work. Oh, hallelujah. We're so happy together. And what are we doing? We're getting together. We're just hugging. We're just so happy. This is so wonderful. And we just forget about the fact that we talk pretty mean to each other recently. And so some blessings can do that long term. And if it's going to be something that is going to distract us or going to numb us from something that we need to deal with, that we need to face head on, I can imagine God, this is just, I certainly don't claim to understand the mind of God, but I can see God saying, I wish I could give this to them. I want to give this to them so bad. I want them to have this, but if I did, it would distract them from the things that they need to take care of. Now, I understand that not all of us were raised in homes where we were taught how to deal with certain things. You know, a lot of us missed out on certain things. You know, Gen X was really the first generation, you know, the latchkey kids. We just came home by ourselves. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not saying it's wrong for both people to work and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But that can be good, but everything has its results. And so a lot of people my age, we didn't really get a lot of the tools to deal with certain things, to just face certain things. And when we look at our parents, the much older generation, if you talk about problems of the past, the usual answer is we don't talk about that. We don't talk about Bruno. Okay, Bruno stays in the wall, and we don't go. That's it. He's gonna stay there. He's gonna live in the wall forever, and we don't go there. And not criticizing. That's just the way it is. But it's a little different these days. And there are things because of how a lot of societal norms, a lot of the things that are out in the open, there are things that if we don't just deal with, it's going to ruin us. And I want the blessings of God. I want things from God. And when I say things, I do mean things. I do mean things that I can enjoy, things that my family can enjoy. I want vacations. We need vacations. I want all those things. They're not bad. But I want to be able to handle them. I want to have them also for the right reasons. We'll get to that in a moment. But also, some things are just bad for us. Sometimes we are certain, if I just had that, if that girl would just go out with me. What did Garth Brooks say? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer. Got some country fans. That's okay. But some of God, no, I'm kidding. It's a good song. It's a good song. And very true. And country music, fine. I'm just picking on people a little bit. But that's so true. You know, there was this person he wanted in his life, and then he went to the high school reunion, and that person is not the person they were in high school. And he thought, wow. Think about what could have been. Think about what could have been. And that's a significant example. But then, oh, wow, that company that I thought I should work for, they just went bankrupt. Oh, wow. My stocks would have been lost. I would have been, thank God for unanswered prayers, because some things, whether in the short term or long term, would just be really bad for us. Now, when it comes to riches, riches are not inherently bad. They're not. Not money is not the root of all evil. What is? The love of money. And a lot of people get that wrong. And that makes sense that they say the love of money is the root of all evil, because love is something that was designed by God to be shown to other people. Now, we say, I love that dress. I love that outfit. I love my PS4. But we don't really mean love. That's just the way that our language works. But when we say love, as it is referred to in the Bible, we're talking about a genuine trust and affection. And if you put that in a thing, that leads to all manner of bad decisions. That leads to all manner of evil. So riches are problematic for most people. Now, I know people in the church that have money, that are well off, and they're doing great. They bless the church with that, and they give, and they have nicer things. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Amen? And if that's what my future holds, I'll take it. And of course, if you want to be well off, you got to do the things that well off people do. And most people just aren't willing to do that. And that's a whole other thing also. But for most people, riches can be problematic. Money, my dad used to say, money doesn't buy happiness. It can only rent it. And that is very true. Money can put a smile on your face. We've received big bonuses before. I think all of us have big financial blessings that put us ahead, and we put some back. Maybe we took a little vacation, and it made us happy for a while. But that wears off. Even if we have a higher income and we're using it correctly, we think, oh, this is wonderful. That's great. And our savings account's growing. We're doing great. We're comfortable. And that's a great feeling, but that the novelty, the newness will eventually wear off. Okay, it will get older. And that's why, if we know to begin with, that's great, and that's going to help me, that's going to help a lot of people. It can even certainly be used to further God's kingdom, which is the ultimate goal of all things, but it doesn't lead to a permanent long-term happiness. The rich young ruler, people fascinate me. Y'all know that about me. People fascinate me. Even the awful people. Sometimes I like to study. Sometimes I like to study psychopaths. I do. My daughter said, "Why do you like it? It's just fascinating. It's not that I get a kick out of what some of the things that some of them did. Not all psychopaths are, you know, evil. Not all of them are, you know, deep criminals. Some of them are, you know, some of them are what they call corporate psychopaths, and they live their life according to just stepping on other people to get to the top." And they may not do anything illegal, and not all of them do anything that's necessarily, evil or illegal. They just know how to shut off their feelings for whatever reason. But people fascinate me, okay? Even narcissists fascinate me. They really do. If you're ever worried about whether or not you might be a narcissist, I heard a really good rule. Do you ever feel genuinely guilty? Okay, then you're not a narcissist, okay? Doesn't mean we're not problems, okay? But the rich young ruler, I tend to believe that he was a narcissist, okay? We also know that riches in the Bible isn't quite the same as riches today, that their economy was different, the governmental structure was different. A lot of things were different, and you can study that. I think there are things to be seen. But riches can still have the same effect, and we see that it did with him, and or at least it kept him there. Now, when he came to Jesus, the first thing he said was what? Good master. Now, Jesus had received many compliments. There are people that said many wonderful things about him, but this is the only time that we see Jesus saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't lay empty flattery upon me. And narcissists do that. They don't really mean what they say. They say great things about you because they want you to tell them how wonderful they are. And they can't really build their own self-esteem, so they just take from others. They try to manipulate others into building them up and feeling good. So we see a hint at that here. And then he goes on. Something really interesting happens here. He says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. Notice what the rich young ruler does. He says, which is kind of a bizarre question to me, he says, which ones? I mean, which ones? All of them. You know the commandments. We all know the commandments. It was obviously that he knew the commandments, which we saw later on. But he said, which ones? Jesus, I want you to tell everybody here what I've been doing. I want you to tell them how wonderful. I want you to say these things so that I can say, I do those things. Keep the commandments. Honor your father and mother. On all those things. And he wanted everybody to hear Jesus say, look how wonderful this guy is. Look how wonderful he is. He's telling everybody about me. And the rich young ruler said, I do all those things. I do all those things. And Jesus saw in him, there's no way that you in particular, can handle riches. So you have got to give it up or you will never get to a genuine place of repentance. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I was studying that recently, and it appears to be a myth that it's referring to a camel going through a city gate. You've probably heard of that before. Whatever the story is, okay, and it does seem like Jesus was referring to a literal needle. He may have just been using hyperbole. It really doesn't matter because later on he said, it's rich people can go to heaven. I heard someone say, and I don't mean to be argumentative, but I heard someone say, well, he was talking about being rich in flesh. Well, that can't be true because, number one, he would have had to switch tracks from literal to figurative, and he just said rich people can go to heaven. God can take care of that. God can handle that. But if you're rich in flesh, you're never going to get there, and that's what this young man was. James 4 and 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Now, that sounds like a very harsh thing to say, but I think we've all been there. I think we're all going to be there again. I just want it. I want. That's what our children do. That's what our teenagers do. That's what we do. And a lot of times we don't always realize that. It doesn't necessarily mean that we are a terrible person because James was talking to the church. He was talking to saved people. But sometimes we're like that. We just want. And so we are asking outside of the scope of God's will for our life. We are asking outside of the scope of what we can handle. Another way to be blessable is that we must allow others to bless us. We must allow others to bless us. Now, part of this here might sound a little bit harsh, but I want everyone to know I respect everyone here. I don't think anybody here has any particularly bad attitude, but there is one kind of attitude that I would like to address. I know I've thought this way. I love my grandmother, my dad's mom. Well, I love both of them, but particularly my dad's mom, she would not ask for a glass of water if her hair was on fire. Okay, that's just the way she was. But she was a very giving person. Okay, she was. She never talked about her problems. She never asked for any help. She was a wonderful lady. Okay, So two things can be true at once, okay? It can be. So this means in part, when it comes to letting others bless us, this means letting them share in our problems, letting them share in our messes. Bear ye one another's burdens, okay? So we must allow other people to fulfill the word of God. And so we have to let others, if someone says, I want to help you out, no, thank you. I want to give you something, no. If someone takes out, you know, a $100 bill, I might say, oh, no, you don't have to do that. But if they say, I want to do this, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. Someone taught me a long time ago, let people bless you. Let people bless you. Now, if there's a particular situation where it's problematic, or maybe that person is just giving away too much and maybe that's a problem for their family, I understand that. But just in general, let people bless you, because allowing this is an opportunity, allowing someone to help you. And if you want to help somebody, if somebody's going through a tough time, don't just say, what can I do for you? Or tell me if there's something I can do for you. Say, what can I do for you? Tell me what's going on right now. Okay, all right, well, I would like to do this for you. So I'm going to do that. But just say, hey, if you ever need something, tell me, because then we put the burden on them. Now, sometimes that may be all we can do. I understand that. But if we can say, what can I do? Tell me what you need. I want to know what you need. And if someone says that to you, tell them. I understand some things are private. I do understand that, okay? And some things to share would cause greater problems. But if we can allow someone to bless us, then we should do that, because it's an opportunity for all parties to be blessed and to grow closer together. Brother, you know, Brother Lance and I, we're buds. Okay, I know he doesn't like me to talk about him, but yeah, we're buds. You know, a few years ago, you know, he reached out and we talked about some things, and I didn't really do anything for him, but you know, we just talked. Okay, and I think three times now I've said, dude, I need a ride. You know, and I said, I need to go pick up my car. I need to drop it off. I need to pick up a rental car. I have yet to return the favor. Okay. And so, but I do know that if he needs something, I'm just going to do it. Hey man, I need such and such. Okay, I'm going to be there. Maybe I can return the favor in some other way. But I'm okay with saying, dude, I need a ride. Okay, if I can't get it some other way, and he's going to be, yeah, all right, I'm going to be there. I'll be there. So we just go. Of course, it's a chance to just hang out. Hey, what's up? Hey, how's your mom and him? Yeah, doing all right. Just hanging out. So it's you know, he's going out of his way to help me out, but it's also an opportunity for everybody to just be blessed, okay? I may not know it. Maybe he needed that time. Maybe he needed to get out of the house. Maybe he needed to get away from the crowd that, you know, he loves them. He loves them, you know, just maybe, not probably not, but just, you know. And I'm being facetious about this, but you understand what I'm saying. It creates an opportunity. Now let's look at the other side of it. Disallowing this. This is where I get a little bit harsh, but I love you. It's okay. It's okay. Two things. You can still be good and this still be true. Two things can be true at once. Disallowing this is not only a missed opportunity, but it's also selfish and arrogant for us to say, no. I don't need anything. Yeah, you do. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to say, I need help right now. I could use a hand. We need to be vulnerable sometimes. It's okay for people to see that in us, okay? And if I continually disallow everyone from fulfilling Jesus' command to bear you one another's burdens, first of all, that's biblically problematic. And I think the reason, if we're honest with ourselves, that we do that is just, there's some sort of pride going on there, or some sort of shame going on there. And that may be something that we need to get past, that we need to work on. It could be a sign of a whole host of other issues and varied things that can be going on. But it's okay, and it's good, and it's right to let other people to bless us. Also, we must be good stewards with God's providence. In fact, that's what our scripture is, our opening text is saying. If we want to be blessed, we must be good stewards with God's providence and all that He gives us. So first of all, we must never claim ownership of anything in this life. Jesus said, I will make you what? Ruler. I will put you in charge. I will let you handle all these things. He never said it belongs to you. He never said, it's yours. Even our children, we are in charge of them, but they belong to God. And one day we're going to have to let them go. They're going to move out and they're going to be on their own, and we're going to have to relinquish a lot. That's a difficult thing to do. But if we realize I'm just in charge of making sure they grow up right, okay? I'm just in charge of making sure they don't hang out with that bunch of bozos down the street, okay? I'm in charge. That's what I do. And has anybody gotten it all right, by the way? Has anyone done it all correctly? Any parents got all the... No, okay, good. So it's not just me, all right? So, and that's the way it is, all right? And sometimes our kids are going to say, Mom, Dad, you messed up. And what are we going to do? Don't you talk to me like that. And then we're going to walk away and we're going to think, you know what? They're right. Man. And then we got to go back and say, you know what, honey? I hear what you're saying. You know, I've said it so many times and I'll say it again. You'll never be bigger to you kids than when you apologize. Do better. Because if you keep doing the same thing and keep apologizing for it, that's even worse, okay? But that's a whole other thing. But the point is that they don't really belong to us. They belong to God. We certainly have property rights. We certainly have legal property rights. We have ethical property rights and moral property rights. But when I look at all that I have and say, God, thank you for giving me this. And He did. He gave us this. Thank you for giving me this. Thank you for giving me that. We can say that as long as we realize it's all just on loan anyway. When I get to heaven, I'll figure out, maybe He'll give me something that truly is mine. I don't know how it's going to work in heaven. All I know is that in this life, everything, physical property, belongs to God. I want to mention this too, and it might be a little strange mentioning this, but also emotional processes belong to God. I heard someone say that one of the biggest problems in Christianity when it comes to counseling and mental health and so forth is that we become experts in how to go through certain processes and how to do something. We become experts in the tools. And there's truth to that, but I think more specifically is that, now, don't get me wrong, if there are people who learn about the mind and learn about nature, and the more they learn about it, the further they move from God. Why? Because deep down, they claim ownership. You know, science is great, but science gives it a name. And as soon as someone names something, they feel like they can claim that as their own. And we run the risk of doing that ourselves, the more we learn about our own selves. And so if we understand that the real danger is when we claim ownership of the tools, ownership of certain emotional processes. And God gave those things to us. God made us that way. And a lot of those things I read about in secular books. A lot of those things I read about in people that have no regard for God, and which is okay. We know which things to discard. If they start talking about things that we know are not true, that's fine. That's okay. Israel took Egypt's gold, right? That was Egypt's gold. That was something that they found, they developed. It belonged to them. And so there are thousands of scientific principles that were developed by some very ungodly people that are at work in this building right now, including those lights that are shining on me. Thomas Edison wasn't the only one that made commercial light bulbs possible. He was not a great guy, okay? But what do? I turn on a light switch, and I'm going to turn on a light switch, okay? You know, Thomas Edison, he was what he was, okay? But I can still use his invention for my life, okay? We can take Egypt's gold, so to speak. So we can learn about things. We can use wisdom to say, you know what, this little thing that they're talking about, that's not right. That's not biblical. I'm going to skip over that. The point is that we give all glory and all credit to God for all things. It all belongs to Him. So we can have something and it makes me happy. I can say it's mine. This is, you know, but if I start flying around, running around like a bunch of seagulls saying, mine, 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 mine. You know, that's my attitude. I may have it for a little while. I may gain for a little while, but I will lose it all in this life or the next. So we must treat everything as belonging to God. Persistence can lead to blessings. Persistence can lead to blessings. This must include, first of all, faithfulness in all things. It is it is required of stewards that we be found what? Faithful. We must be faithful in all things. So if we are persistent in asking God for something, but we are deliberately not living up to certain biblical commands. Now, I understand there is a difference, a big, huge difference between having something in our lives, having a sin that does so easily beset us, which we are working on, and that's a whole other sermon in itself, but we're working on that. We're getting help for that. We're talking to pastor. We're reading God's words. We're doing what we need to do to take care of something that's just maybe even been in our life for a long time, maybe even on and off for a long time. There's a difference in that and saying, in our heart, I'm not going to live according to this biblical principle. Okay? And I try to skip over the memes that say God loves everyone, so he just welcomes everyone. He does welcome you. But if you don't get with his program, he says, see you, bye. I just read you an example. The rich young ruler, he said, if you don't do this thing that is keeping you from a heart change, you got to go. And he did. He went away sorrowful. Hypocrites. Jesus, and those that hurt the innocent. Jesus said, okay, hey, I welcome you. You're not changing. Okay, bye. So this notion that we're just all under his wing, and he does love us, but he's just accepting. No, he does not. That is not scriptural, Old or New Testament. Jesus loves us while we are in our sin, but there are certain, if we are living certain lifestyles, God said, I abhor them. God's love is complicated. God's feelings about us are complicated. And can he abhor us and love us at the same time? I'm sure he can, because he's God. But the point is that we must be faithful in all things. And if we have taken on a sinful lifestyle, or if we have decided not to keep a biblical principle because we just don't want to, or for whatever reason, even if it's been preached and shown and so forth, then God can't help us. God can't work with that. He cannot do anything with that, because our heart is not in the right place. So that kind of lack of faithfulness will just nullify any kind of persistence that we have. We're familiar with the parable of the unjust judge. There was a woman who had a need. She had a significant need, and it was a genuine need. And so she went to the unjust judge, and she said, help me. He said no, and he wasn't a good guy. And she kept saying, help me, help me. And he kept saying no. And eventually he said, okay, I'll help you out. And so Jesus was saying that sometimes we just got to be faithful. We just have to be persistent. We have to keep praying. Sometimes we're going to get a no. And that's just the way that it is. But when we are persistent, God will, I believe, do one of three things. He will answer it due to our faithfulness. Or B, he will refuse and try to show us that we don't need it. What did he say to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is enough. My grace is a much better deal than the one that you're asking for. Or he will answer it just to show us that we don't need it. Now, that may sound a little strange and a little bit opinionated, but I think the biggest example of that was when Israel was begging for a king. God said, no. We want a king. No. We want a king. No. We want a king. Okay. And he said, it's going to be bad for you. It's going to ruin a lot of things. It's going to ruin. I can't imagine how history would have gone if they would have just stuck with the judges. But he said, okay, your persistence is in this case selfishness, and you're rejecting me. So I'm going to let you have it, and I'm going to let you see just what a bad idea it is. And so it's okay to be persistent, but along with that, we need wisdom. We need a word from God, okay? And I think if everything is, even if it's just a footnote, God, I need this. Please, God, let this come through. I'm waiting on this thing. I'm waiting on this check to come in. I'm waiting on this thing to work out, but your will be done. And we see a great example of that in Jesus. Jesus did the same thing. God, don't let me have to go to the cross. Please, I don't want to have to die. I don't want to have to go through this. I don't want to. Please let this cup pass from me. Your will, not mine. And I'm sure it was hard to squeak that out. And it's hard for us to do, and we're just saying, but if I say that, that probably means I won't get what I want. But we still say, we still have to say, God, I trust you in all things. And when we take that approach, when we take that attitude, God's going to come through. We also, to be blessed, we also need personal and spiritual growth, which requires time and specific work and proper motives. I've alluded to all these things so far. So if we want to grow just to become blessed, I want to be blessed, so I need to be a better person. I need to do these things that we're talking about. So I'm going to do that, and if I do that, I'm going to get what I want. We don't always realize we're doing that. But if we want to grow just so we can become blessed, then we're not really growing into the person that can be blessed. And so that's quite the catch-22. And so it all just collapses in on itself. And those improper motives defeat the purpose. It is harder for some people to examine themselves than others. Okay, coming to a personal truth can be very, very difficult. There's a term we use, cognitive dissonance. You can tell someone that this is made out of wood. No, it's not. No, it's not. And then you come up to them and show them, you chip a piece off, and this is wood. You set it on fire, this is wood. And you prove to them that they are factually incorrect. What do some people do? And I think all of us have at some point. They double down. They double down. And that's a very bizarre kind of thing. And people do that because to concede, to say you're right, I'm wrong. We feel like we're giving up our identity when we do that. We feel like we're conceding so much. But I can tell you, one of the greatest experiences that we can have is when we say, I was wrong about this. My motives were not right. That was awful. And we have that terrible sinking feeling, even some guilt, and a lot of it's a huge process. But I can assure you that coming out of that is some of the greatest relief that we can feel, some of the greatest opportunity to be better, some of the greatest blessings that God wants us to have. Quickly, before as we're closing here, I want to go through Matthew, the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 3 through 11. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on this because each of these, you could do a series on each one of these, but each of these kind of falls into a category, if you will. And so I want to just point these out as we go. So if you want to be blessed, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, 3 through 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What is that? That is deep spiritual humility. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn. What is this? This is a person that is in genuine need, for they shall be comforted. There will be times we don't even have to ask for a blessing. We just have to cry out, I don't know what to do. We just weeping and letting ourselves feel these things. God's going to give us what we need, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Here's a good one. The meek are those who don't seek their own. You can be direct, you can be maybe even blunt and still be meek because you're not seeking your own, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, spiritual desire. The biggest blessing we can ever receive is that what we receive when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be. It doesn't say they'll receive a little blessing. So we get a little partial blessing. And we do get those in some areas and sometimes, and that's great. But those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be what? Filled. Blessed are the merciful. That one's self-explanatory. For they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Proper motives. Pure in heart. Those who have proper motives. For they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Those who seek to serve others. Not for their own reward, but just because it's the right thing to do. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, those who endure hardship and injustice. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Let's stand together. It is God's desire and his pleasure. He loves blessing his children. It is his desire and pleasure to bless his children. And we never have to deserve his blessings. And we never will. But if we can't handle them for the reasons I've talked about or for other reasons, then those blessings will become a curse. When we understand this, when we will grow. We will avoid complications. We will avoid unnecessary heartaches, and we will be blessed. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, it's harsh, but he's making a point. If you then, being not always a great guy, not always a great dad, not always realizing the mistakes you make, not always taking the right approach, so forth, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Let's worship. Can we do that? We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Such an abundance of blessings, God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus. Change us, God. Change me. Make me able to handle the things you want to give, not just for my sake, God, but so that I can bless somebody else, so that we can grow, so that we can all just go to heaven. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody clap your hands and worship the Lord. Shout to him one more time. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.